that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be
Thank you so much, church. Would you take your Bibles and look with me in Hebrews, please? Hebrews, if you go to the very last book in the Bible, the book of the Revelation, and then start going left for you ladies, and then it'd be west for us men, cowboys, here. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith. Hall of Fame chapter. So let's stand together, if you would, please, with me, if you're able. It's Hebrews chapter 11. I want to look this morning, time permitting. We might be able to look at maybe one or two men, but this is the first man. A man in the Bible that we don't know too much about. Actually, we only know three things about him in the Scriptures. And so it's somewhat of a mysterious man. The other man that we're going to be looking at, we kind of really only know one thing about him. But I think both of these men could really teach us something this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. Look with me here in verse 5. The man we're looking at first here is a man by the name of Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now that's kind of an unusual thing right there. Here's a fellow that never had to taste death and was not found because God had translated him. almost like an early rapture. Can I get an amen on that? For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, Father, this morning, would you show us some truths out of these two men's lives? How to please you. That's really what we want to know, Lord. How can the likes of us please our Father in heaven? Show that to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. If you're visiting with us this morning, thank you for being here. Enoch is an unusual man in Scripture. Out of Genesis chapter 5, if you'd like to slip over there, we know a little bit of history about him. He was Enoch in chapter 5 of Genesis, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. Ah, what do we know about Methuselah? He was the oldest man that ever lived. How old was he? 969 years. That's a long time. How many of you know that's a long time? See, isn't that amazing? We eke out just a little small sliver of that today. Do you realize they almost lived 1,000 years back there? So here's what the scripture says. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God because, and he begat Methuselah 300 years. And he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. He lived 1 year for every day of our calendar. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Actually, Enoch was a friend of God. They went on walks together. And God walked with Enoch, probably from Enoch's home on long walks back to Enoch's house. And one day God said, you know, I keep going to your house. How would you like to come to my house? And they just kind of walked right on up there. So we know that about him. The second thing we know about him is in Jude. Jude chapter 1 verses 14 to 15. Here's what we know. We know that he was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. I mean, he could absolutely shuck the corn. He just flat laid it out on the line. Here's the way it is. Now, here's what it says in Jude. Only one little chapter there. Verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. Now, wouldn't you think he's a hellfire and brimstone preacher? And all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Gracious. Now, how many of you know that we're all ungodly at one point in our life? I used to think this. I used to think, I got saved as a policeman, Kansas City, Missouri. Before I was a policeman, growing up just as an American, here's what I thought, that it was all about good and bad. Now, see, I knew there was a heaven, and I thought there's a hell. I knew there was right. I knew there was wrong. But here's what I believed. I believed that one day I was going to get on a scale before God and after I died, and if my good outweighed my bad, I get to go to heaven. So, but I was a little concerned, knowing me like I did, that maybe my bad would outweigh my good. Then I'm in serious trouble. You know what I'm saying? Now, by the way, there is a God. There is a right and a wrong. Even our laws show that. So don't think that you just die, go to the ground, and dissolve. No, sir, there is life after death. So what Enoch was, he was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. He was trying to wake up people and say, look, there is life after death. Actually, if we use the word literally, there is no death. It's just a transfer. The truth of the matter is, at conception, every little child that is ever conceived becomes an eternal soul. And they're going to live on somewhere for all eternity, heaven or hell. Well, he was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. Now back to Hebrews chapter 11. Here's another thing we know about Enoch. Enoch, here in the last part of verse 5, said he had this testimony. What a testimony this would be for you and I to have. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Some people say that somewhere back there in eternity past, God got lonely and, just kind of kicking cans around and nobody to talk to, nobody to be with. So that's why he created man, to have fellowship. So God created man to have fellowship. Now here's the truth. God never needed anything. How many of you understand what I'm saying here? Now look, if God ever needed anything, he wouldn't be sovereign. So God is all self-contained. He's okay by himself. But here the scripture says that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, so then I began to ask myself the question, well, how do you please God? What's it take to please God? Now listen closely. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Look what it says here. Revelation chapter 4, verse 7. God didn't make man to just have fellowship, but here's what the scripture says. Revelation 4, 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, catch this, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So God created everything for his pleasure. In other words, he wants his creation to please him. That's really the purpose. Now, what does it take to please God? If you would look with me in Hebrews chapter 11, back there one more time, in verse 6, the next verse, it really tells us what it takes to please God. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Excuse me. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, God says here that without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you and I want to please God, then we've got to have faith. Well, now, what is faith? Well, faith, the easy definition of faith is this. If you have faith in something, like the green chairs you're sitting in this morning, that means you're depending on the green chairs to hold you up, even when you cross your legs. See? So faith is dependence or trust. Faith. If you have a faithful spouse, that means they're not out there looking for other people to be attracted to. It means they're faithful to you. You can trust them. You can depend on their loyalty. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So, the scripture tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. It must be a big deal, quite frankly, because Luke chapter 18 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Will he find faith on earth? Thank you, brother, very much. Is it possible for him to find faith on the earth when he comes back? Now, the truth of the matter is, we are decreasing in our faith. When you say faith, if you're talking about trust or depending on the Lord. So, what is faith? Well, it's dependence, it's trust, it's actually needing him. Do you know what happens in marriages? When you first get married, listen to me, the experience is this. You fall in love, and what you're really falling in love with is someone that you realize needs you. They need you. You need them. And it's just a wonderful experience to fall in love and realize you need that person. They need you. By the way, there's just, it's very important to be needed. Do you know that? I was telling the college the other day, the years I pastored, we had a Christian school. Our children were in the Christian school. My little daughter one day was having problems with math. She was doing some homework, and she came to me. I know she was kind of struggling over there, so I kind of went by, and I said, Jenny, you're doing okay? Yeah, Dad, I'm just kind of, I'm doing this homework, and, you know, I just can't seem to get the right answer. So I said, well, let me take a look. So she said, well, it's a multiplication thing. Now listen closely. She said, you see, I'm multiplying this. 3 times 3 equals 6, but it's not working out with the rest of the numbers. Oh, I said, well, hon, I think I can help you. You know, really, 3 times 3 is 9, not 6. Now look, look. She said, you know, about third grade, she said, are you sure, Dad? Oh, I said, yeah, you know, I'm sure. She said, now look, and she got a little independent, see? Instead of depending on Dad, now all of a sudden you got this little independence going on. And she said, Dad, little hand on her hip, my teacher said that 3 times 3 is 6. And I said, you know, I mean, where do you go with a thing like that? You know what I mean? And it was real clear in this little conversation, she wasn't needing me like I was wanting her to need me. She had this little independent spirit. I said, well, sweetheart, first of all, you see, I hired your teacher. And if she thought 3 times 3 was 6, I wouldn't have hired her. I didn't know what to do. You know what I mean? So, you know, I just walked away and let her stew there a little bit. And pretty soon, you know, I could tell she was really couldn't get this whole thing, equation worked out. So pretty soon here she came, you know, little lower lip quivering. Dad, I really do need some help. Now, guess what? See, you know what? It's not my wife. My wife doesn't like spiders. So whenever I hear a little, in the other room, I come charging in. S on my shirt doesn't stand for suitor. It stands for Superman. Man, I go into my karate stance. Yeah! Got it right there. Now, see? Now, you know, to me, it's important to be needed. You know what causes divorce? Now, listen to me. One person in the marriage is telling the other person, by in their spirit or by words, I don't need you. I could get along better without you. You hear what I'm saying? So what was it that Enoch did that pleased God? He depended on God. Now look, church, here's what I'm saying to you. We have a perfectly wonderful, holy, sovereign, loving God. And if God ever needed anything, it would maybe be just this one thing, to be needed. Yep. He just wants to be needed. And apparently Enoch really got a handle on that, because the scripture says the testimony that Enoch had was that he pleased God. You know what was pleasing to God? Enoch needed God. Now, you get a little, one of your little kids, they get a little, their feathers ruffled the wrong way. And, you know, you kind of rub the fur the wrong way. Well, the best plan is to turn the cat around. Then you're going to be in the right direction. So, but you, one of your youngsters, and they say, well, you know, I just don't even like living here in this family. I just think I'm going to leave. You know the problem with that? What they're really saying is, I don't need you. And they get 3 blocks down the road thinking, well, now where am I going to stay tonight? And who's going to fix my breakfast in the morning and clean my clothes? And I didn't even bring any clothes with me. By the way, they're not your clothes anyway. Mom and Dad bought those clothes. Now, what we're trying to say here, the reason Enoch pleased God is because Enoch needed God. He had faith or dependence. He needed God. The problem, the scourge today of the United States of America is we think we don't need God. We think we can get through life without God. We think we can handle our finances without the Word of God. We think we can put a marriage together and never even consult the Bible. We think we can be raise kids and we don't know the first thing about raising kids. See what I'm saying? Now, here's what I want to say to you. Enoch pleased God because Enoch needed God. You know what pleases God? For us to need Him. That's all. I told a college class the other day, I was really worried that one day when we get to heaven, when I get to heaven, God's going to take me down into the industrial area of heaven where all the warehouses are. And He's going to take me on this little tour, and there's going to be this big warehouse, huge doors with my name on the top. He's going to take this remote control, push it, and these two huge doors are going to come separating, lumbering apart, and all of a sudden I'm going to walk in there and I'm going to see all the things that my Heavenly Father had planned for me to have. But I just didn't need Him for those things. Do you hear what I'm saying? Well, let's just go to the bank and borrow. Well, let's just go over here and do such and such and so and so. Everybody else is. Well, church, now listen to me. Somewhere, if we want to please God, we've got to fit Him into our life. I mean, like, really fit Him into our life. Hope you see what I'm saying here. The enemy of faith is an independent spirit. I'm going to do it my way. Well, I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to do it my way. It's just not good, church. And you know what we do? We just do a lot of damage to a lot of people in a lot of areas. Look what it says in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. I really love this. He doesn't need us. We need Him. Luke 12, 32. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You know, I'm just telling you, the warehouse is huge. Look, all our Father has ever wanted to do was give away His stuff. He doesn't need it. We need it. This book is a book of promises, wonderful promises. You know, you ought to, look, you collect little teacups at your house, you collect precious moments, you collect colors of this and that. Why don't you go on a collection of the promises in the Word of God? Now, all He wants is for us to... Enoch pleased God because Enoch needed God. And God said, you know, I just want you to... I'm going to take you home early and show you your warehouse. Now, here's the second person, Acts. I think we've got time here. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Now we're switching gears here, okay? This fellow's name starts with an E also, Enoch. And here's a fellow by the name of Eutychus. I'm not sure if you want to name your son that or not, Eutychus. But Acts chapter 20, look what it says here in verse 7. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. The Bible says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Now that's a preacher there. I mean, he started right after supper and just kind of kept right on preaching till midnight. Now we've never experienced anything like that, have we, around here? But here's what I'm saying. ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight, and there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. Now, I'm not here to be against him. I mean, anybody preaching that long, you know, it's amazing Paul didn't fall asleep. Being fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Now, get this straight. You and I need God. There's absolutely no other way to heaven except through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, you can play the pretend game like I used to, but see, even me, I could never figure out, well, if my good outweighed my bad and that's how I'm going to get to heaven, then why did Jesus have to come to the planet and die? That just makes no sense. See? So we need God. So here's Eutychus up in the third loft listening to the preaching. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, he gets sleepy, falls to sleep, and then falls out three floors. And the Bible says they took him up dead. Now, if you'll read the rest, Paul revived him. But I'm thinking about this, and I could kind of identify with this. Because, listen, I remember one week, you know, as a pastor, you have a lot of things on your plate. Just a lot of stuff going on all the time. And so it was Friday. It was after lunch Friday. I shouldn't have had that big a lunch. I was tired and exhausted for the whole week. We do a lot of counseling. So I'm sitting there in my office with my 2 o'clock counseling appointment after lunch, and it's kind of seems like to me it's a little warm in the office, and so this lady, sweet lady, sitting across my little table is telling me things that are going on in her life and asking me from the Bible what can she do. So now I'm sitting there listening to her. Have you ever done this? Maybe you've done it this morning even, and your eyes start kind of floating on you. I could feel them floating. Man, it's just almost like you're in a twilight zone or something, you know. And I could feel them floating on me. So I thought, did one of those. Scooted up to the edge of my chair, you know, kind of so I could get a little more oxygen or something. And she kept telling me, kind of, it must have been a long problem. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening. And I'm feeling that one eye close on me. And now, church, this is absolutely embarrassing, but I'm just telling you. Sitting on the edge of my chair, all of a sudden, I must have went to sleep. I fell out of my chair, boom, on my knees, on the table. It was so embarrassing. She got up, came over, tried to help me up. I said, oh, I am so sorry. I said, you know, by the way, there's just no good way to apologize for going to sleep when somebody's talking. You know, I was like, it was terrible. Boom, on the floor. You know, that jarred me awake, and I apologize. I saw her every week for a month afterwards. I apologized to her for that. But here's what I'm saying. Then I got to thinking about what happened to me and what happened to Eutychus. He was asleep. Same thing happened. And he fell. Now, but, you know, he's sitting in this window ledge. Now, here's the interesting thing. Do you realize what happened was he went to sleep and he fell out of the window? Three stories, boom. I think probably killed him. Now, and I got to thinking, wait a minute. You see, he could have had the experience that I had. I fell in and just dropped to my knees. He fell out and died. Here's the other secret. We need God. To get closer to God, catch this. More of you needs to be in the church than is out of the church. Come on. Now, that's not hard to understand. No. But the bottom line is, you and I need God. All he's ever wanted was just to be needed. But the first step is, more of us ought to be hanging in church than that part of us that's hanging out of church. More of us ought, biggest part of us ought to be in the Word of God as opposed to not in the Word of God.
Yes,
do you understand what I'm saying? Listen,
yes,
we need God. If you want to please God, then let God know that you need Him. Go to Him for the answer for things. And listen, when you're doing that, then what you're going to do now, if you do have a little fall, you're going to fall in and not out. Father in heaven, thank you for your word to us this morning.